Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun, from elite runners to weekend warriors. Find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The freeness it can bring you, the capacity to move yourself in space without restriction, it's for me like the biggest gift we can make for ourselves. And I think this is why I'm so passionate about running and about coaching people to get into running. I think it's made to be for everyone.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had an energizing conversation with Spartan athlete Sam Hebert. His love for running began in high school, where he immersed himself in cross-country racing. From there, his dedication only grew. 7 years ago, he did his first Spartan race and hasn't looked back. He's become one of the top obstacle course athletes in the country. And this season, he's aiming even higher. Are you already subscribed to The Rundown? Running with WRG and still can't get enough? Sign up to their weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the community, hear about exclusive run events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Just go to iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. In this week's news, I'd like to tell you about an article I read on runnersworld.com. It talked about how following a plant-based diet can help endurance athletes improve their cardiovascular health and recovery time. This is because of the many antioxidants found in the diet which reduce inflammation, a challenge many runners face, especially at longer distances like marathons or ultras. Grains, legumes, and root vegetables are all great sources of complex carbs, so using these foods as a main source of protein can ensure that you have enough energy to fuel your long runs. The evidence is strong that a plant-based diet is good for your heart, in addition to the benefits it can have on your performance and recovery time. But if cutting out meat isn't for you, or you've been advised by a professional not to, then don't. In the end, a diet needs to work for you and your lifestyle. If you're already getting the itch to race, or you're just sick of the cold winter, there's an underground run on Saturday, February 2nd. It's a 5K in the Complexe des Jardins, with prizes for the top three men and women. It's called Course Souterrain de Montréal, and it's in support of the Pulmonary Association of Quebec. Bring your family and your friends. It should be a good time. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. I've attempted one Spartan race in my life, and I don't ever think I'll do another one. But I have with me today an elite Spartan athlete, Sam Hebert. Welcome to The Rundown.
Nice. Hello, Justin.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good. How was the bike ride in this morning?
Really cold. Yeah? It's a cold one, yeah. Like, feel pretty much like minus 25, I'm sure. So
it was even with the wind, you know, it's like...
Yeah, the wind, it's the hardest part. So for the feet and the hands on the handles,
yeah,
this is like the biggest problem, because you want to grip your handles hard, because fat bike, it's a lot of like mud, snow, and rumble stuff.
Yeah.
So
a mix of everything.
Yeah, but the handles are cold at the same time, so you just want to get like your finger together and trying to get some heat. So nice. Yeah, but it's always fun. I love it for moving around the town. It's perfect.
And that's how you get around, like, primarily?
Yeah, this is my main transportation. I run a lot to go to point A to point B, and I use public transport sometimes too. But mainly biking, because it don't get that much in my training. So I can do a lot of volume while biking, and it's not impacting as much in my running program.
Nice. No. And it's good for the environment too.
Yeah, totally.
Which is great.
Yes, my little side for the environment, totally.
Yeah, so I checked out your Instagram page, and everything I see there is basically fitness and Spartan.
Yeah.
So how did you get into that?
Oh, that's a good one. Did I start about Spartan or about motion? Because I would say my desire for running and my passion for running start when I was in high school.
Okay.
In my last year of fifth grade, I went to cross country with the school and cross country race, and it really like triggered in me the passion of running. This side of individual sports where you only rely on yourself, like for your performance, you don't have pressure, peer pressure for the win or the loss of the team, but at the same time, you're only battling against yourself. So this is where it all starts. And after that, I start my training journey and progression in running. That bring me like in my lifestyle and my profession as a kinesiologist and to study into that domain. And during that process, I will say 6 or 7 years ago, I tried my first Spartan race with some friends where I was working back in the days at Energie Cardio.
Okay.
a long time ago, like, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And somebody come at me and say, hey, Sam, there's a race. It's a new kind of thing at Mont-Tremblant. It's called Spartan Race. We run like it's trail running, but with obstacles and monkey bars and barbed wire and mud. Would you like to come and join us? I was like, yeah, for sure. It sounds like kind of fun, kind of crazy, but seems fun. So we went there. I remember like it was yesterday, the little stress we had from the unknown, the fact that we never been in that kind of events and everybody looked like so happy to be there and so pumped. But a lot of people didn't know what to expect because it was like, I think it was the first edition in Quebec.
Okay.
So Spartan Race like was created, I think, 2 years earlier or 3 years earlier, but in the US, but close from here in Vermont. So yeah, that's where it all starts. And I run it with some friends. So it was like a fun run that we call it in the obstacle race community. Right. And from there, it just like escalated so quickly. Years after years, I just did more and more because I realized that I was good at it.
Okay.
Because I was already like a former runner, but never like the best in the running field because I love to do everything. I love to do climbing. I love to do other sports and movement that need me a little more muscular mass.
Okay.
That for runners are not needed. So extra weights gets you a little bit slower or get you more energy expend to move your body. So this is why I always had some decent time for running, but never to be like in the elite.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try a Spartan race, I just feel like, okay, I can keep training pretty much the way I train right now, but just like get more structure into it and more consistency. And I could be like pretty good at that because it's a lot of upper body agility, strength, endurance, kind of some speed at some point. So I put that all together. And for sure, the next year, the year after that, I subscribe again to go and try for some more. So Spartan got a type of event they call trifecta. It's the three different basic distance.
Okay.
So, and that was like cool to achieve for the next year goal. So we subscribed to the three different distance. Sorry. So the sprint, the super, and the beast. This is a matter of kilometers higher on each one of them and a little bit more obstacle in each one of them.
What's the distance for each one?
The sprint, it's the red color for Spartan. So it's like the more common one, the one a lot of people attempt. When you never try it, it's like the first obvious to do. It's deep. It's gonna vary between 5 to 8 kilometers.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Because this is something fun about obstacle course racing and Spartan. It's you never know, even if it's the same race, what you're gonna see or have to challenge yourself through. Because the parkour and the track you're gonna run, even if it's the same mountain year after year, it's going to be a little bit different. So you have to pace yourself differently. So it's hard to train for that, but at the same time, it's what's make it fun to never know what to expect exactly. So sorry, I did a little drop.
It's okay.
Spartan sprint, it's 5 to 8 kilometers and I think 20 or 25 obstacles.
Okay.
The super, it's in between 12 to 18 kilometers.
I think that's the one I did.
It's the blue color.
Oh, God.
And this one, it's, I think, it's always 5 obstacles more. So it's 25 to 30. And after that, the beast is the green color. And this is one, it's 21K plus. So in between 21 to 25. Mm-hmm. And that one, it's 35 to 40 obstacles.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I think the super is the one I attempted.
Okay, cool. And where did you attempt it?
In Tremblant, too.
In Tremblant, okay. So back in the days, kind of, because it's been, I think, 5 years we didn't get to Tremblant
as
a venue.
And it was similar to you. Like, some friends were like, hey, we're going up. Why don't you come and join us? And I was a runner, too. And so I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And I left it in their hands to sign. Like, I didn't know what the distance was. And like you're saying.
Same as me. Same as my first experience, totally.
There's a suggested distance, but you don't actually know what it is. So I'm thinking, okay, this is like a 5K thing. It ends up being like a 15K obstacle course that I had no idea what was going on the whole time. And the first K in, so I'm running, everything's going great. And then we hit the first obstacle, you know, it's like this big construction cylinder you have to jump over.
Yep.
And then there's mud on the other side. So I jump over this thing and then one of my legs drops in the mud. So it's about.
And the other one stay on the top?
Yeah. It's got to be about like 2 feet of mud or more. I don't know.
It was
like
super
deep. And I pull off my leg and my shoe's gone. I lost my shoe and I'm like looking for the shoe and
beginner mistakes, but totally. Yeah. Christ, I saw that a lot.
How tight do you have to tie the shoes? Anyways, it sucked right off. And I was like, well, now what do I do? I'm 1K into this 15K thing.
Yeah.
So I ended up running the thing with one
shoe less
with one shoe. And I used the left foot to protect myself. So going down hills and stuff, I used it to protect. Because the right foot was completely exposed. All I had was a sock on it, but I said never again. I'm gonna stick to the road running.
If I remember that race particularly, it was a lot of single track too. Mm-hmm. Single track running with a lot of steep, like downhill and rocks. Huh?
Yeah, and it was wet.
Yeah.
Is it always like that?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends a lot on the weather for the ground like feel. But in general, it's always like super accidented mix of single track and ski hills.
Okay.
Because in Quebec, Spartans are really like known to use mountains of ski to put their event, to do their venue.
Okay.
So we have a lot of steep uphill in the long grass during summer because it's snow and ski hills. So they don't do any like arrangement during summers. So we run in the super tall grass uphill and downhill sometimes. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
And were you always super athletic or like as a kid growing up, was this always something that kind of, like, I was a hyper kid, so I moved around all the time. Like, was that the case for you?
Same, yeah.
Okay.
I was like super hyperactive, so I was moving a lot, but not specifically in sports. In a young age, I wasn't considered a sports kids at all. Mm-hmm. I really like did a big transition, like I said, at the end of my fifth grade, where I really like discover a passion for it and try to build my life pretty much around it. But before that, I always been moving, doing like a lot of hikes, bouldering, and
cool
outdoor stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And like, what's the biggest like difference in the training now, like going from, you know, just kind of enjoying yourself through it, like you said, never really like a top performer, I guess in running. You saw potential in the Spartan because you have the strength to do it.
Totally.
What are some like challenges that you faced to kind of get up to that next level?
The biggest challenge are I will say the consistency. So staying constant in your training, because if you are not focusing on your goal or what you are attempting to achieve, it's super easy to stay at the same level as you were, or in my case, regress a little bit too. So, and it's hard because the competition season, it's quite long. So it starts like, in my case, mid-May, and it's finishing end of October. So it's almost like half of the year. But it brings us to like a super season where you always want to move and stay motivated because you got a lot of races and people around you that just bring the best out of you. And you got constant super high intensity, but high thrills too. And when that season finished, you got kind of a huge drop.
A depression.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And even more I progress and I get like better at it, the depression is just like bigger every year.
Right.
But I learn from it. So I know when it's coming and I know this is like kind of normal in the progression. Mm-hmm. And it's always come with the fall season and the cold, the sun's not there anymore or really less,
right.
A lot of rain. And the November month, by chance, I got my birthday in that month. So
me
I'm
too.
Like,
when's your birthday?
The 8th.
On the 6th.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So we're really close.
Yeah.
Both Scorpions. So I got at least like my birthday party where I always throw a big party to have all my friends gather around and do a big wrap up after the season 2. Because I have passed. I don't have a summer season where I'm going to the beach and just chilling with my friends. It's more like running in the hills and having fun too. So I'm really enjoying that kind of lifestyle. But I don't like party during summer at all.
Right.
So November, I do like a big check mark for that. But it's always like an adaptation. So I learn every year how to manage more myself about that. And this is why it's super important to have an objective, a clear goal, a defined goal, not only long-term, but in shorter term too, to keep you like on the right track.
Interested and too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's totally normal to get like a little bit uninterested or less motivated. People think when they like follow me on my Instagram and like you said, it's always like action, movement stuff because this is like mainly part of my day every day. But I got normal day or like more like casual office day where I have to do paperwork, where I have to like, and I got more period where I got a little bit more depressed or less energy, and this is totally normal, and it's going, everybody go through that.
Yeah.
So this is why it's super important to have a goal. It's normal if you go a little bit on the side sometime and the goal it's like seems less important, but if it's really well defined and it's something that really come from you and it's important for you, you're gonna find a way to come back to that track and keep going on and growing in your sport or in your field.
Exactly. Yeah. And as I know you're speaking about goals and stuff. I think that's really important too. And I usually try and set, you know, you have your A race of the season.
Totally.
Similarly, do you do that in the Spartan?
Or yes.
Is it like everything's all, because I know you're on the, you're now on the Canadian Spartan
pro team. Yeah, totally.
Pro team. So that's pretty cool. The last 2 years?
Yeah, I've been the last 2 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that must add, like, I'm not part of a Canadian team or anything like that.
Yeah.
Does that add added pressure to perform?
Yeah.
On these races?
The first year, a lot. The second year, I manage it better. And this year, we will see if I'm still on the team because it's going to be announced, like, soon.
Okay.
I know I've been selected for the Spartan World pro athlete team. So I think it's 300, like the movie Spartan.
Oh, cool.
300 athletes around the world in the 37 country where Spartan have some races that we are pick up to like represent the branding, but at the same time be elite athletes to race for the world championship and stuff like that.
Okay.
But so for the Canadian team, I don't know yet.
Okay.
It's a really smaller one. We're normally like 3 men's and 3 women's. So
For Canada,
yeah.
Amazing.
Across Canada.
So it's similar to triathlon because I worked my, you know, last, not this year. I won't be focused on triathlon this year or in 2018. I focused on run alone. But the 2 prior years I was in triathlon and they also have like a world championship. So
yeah.
You in triathlon or in the Ironman series, you can qualify for the 70.3, the half Ironman, which is somewhere different every year, or the World Championships, which is in Kona. Is it similar in Spartan as well, where
pretty much
there's one location?
Yeah, there's one location for the World Championship, and during the season, it always evolves with the years because it's still like kind of a new sports, but since last year, we had a regionals series where you can qualify for the national series. And you got a North American championship. So we got like the Canadian series, the US series, Mexican series, and all of them can come to the North American championship to qualify for the world. And it's the same in Europe and Asia.
Okay.
So, and this year is going to be marking and points. So all race in the Spartan universe is going to count in your like billboard. But there's some specific race who're going to be more valuable in terms of points. So the national series is going to value more. So if you want to be sure, this is a great way to bring all the strong athletes at the same weekend to compare them together. Because there are so many events like in a season, because there is Spartan who is like the main brand, but there is other different race too, where we OCR athlete for obstacle course race love to go. So we don't only have, or in my case, I'm mainly doing Spartan, but I got different events too. So they bring those kinds of events to be sure that this weekend will gather the strongest of that at least country or region to do a good scaling of their score. Because it happens sometimes, like in a weekend, we are five top athletes where we have like challenge together. There are always some new athlete that we call like fresh meat that we don't know yet.
the rookies.
Yeah. But then they can really like surprise us, and we don't know where they came from, but they doing good. But it's super rare that we see like a rookie coming out of nowhere that we never saw and get on the podium if we are at least like 3 to 5 like normal pro athlete on the race, because there's always like the experience who get in the way at a certain point to pace yourself, to know the different obstacles, to have like to stay calm when you get passed by someone too. So this is something that you cannot learn if you don't run, if you don't do some race, and if you don't put yourself in those elites or pro wave. Because I got a lot of clients or friends that write me and
ask
me.
You're a coach as well.
Yeah, right? I'm a coach. Okay. Yeah, totally. Okay. So when you talk about like programmation and goals, setting goals, yeah, I talk about like myself. But even for my clients, it's something super important to think about. Mm-hmm. But I get a lot of people asking me in the Spartan universe who are running in open waves, that we call it, because they're a different category in every races. So the morning, the first heat who's leaving is the elite heat. And after that, there is some age group, but competitive age group to get qualified to go to the world in that specific category. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of open wave too. And a lot of people are scared to pass from the open wave to the elite wave because they think like, okay, elites, it's super elite, but it's not. We are like 200, even possibly 300 leaving for that heat. And honestly, what I define as really elite and pro athlete, where I got a challenge to race against, if I got 20 of them in the same event, it's a lot. So that doesn't mean the other 100 are not good athletes, not at all. But it means you have space for a different range of athletes since in that wave. And the best way to learn, to pace yourself, to push yourself against people who can challenge you really the most, it's to do those waves. To don't be shy and to just like step up and commit to that. If your goal is to like train harder and become a better athlete in that field.
Right.
So don't be shy to like do the leap.
Exactly. Yeah.
Same in all other races.
Yeah.
So.
And do you train only in obstacle athletes now, or is it runners? Is it all kinds of different?
No, I still have all kinds of clients and athletes. More and more since the year are attract because of my progression in the Spartan and OCR world.
Yeah.
So I train a lot of athletes and people who want to progress in their obstacle.
Okay.
But I still have a lot of runners, triathletes, and people who want to progress in different other field or just get in better condition.
Okay, cool.
Because I'm like, yeah, I'm a kinesiologist and specialize in endurance sports, but at the same time, I'm kind of a coach to better health habit and just like guide people around to help them.
Right.
So
cool. And what are some of the questions? Like, I liked what you were saying about the race experience.
Yeah.
Because you can't learn that without experiencing it.
Exactly. You cannot learn that from training. You have to go out, do some races, and challenge yourself in a competitive like way. Because, mm-hmm. and this, honestly, the last year I trained hard, but it was a weird year because I wasn't constant in my training as much as I wanted to because of other factors in my life. But I still have performed pretty good, even more than the year before. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure this is mainly because of the experience, because I gauge myself way better year after year. It's not because I increase my VO2 max or my basic capacity or whatever specific like term in running or in obstacles. I did not like progress in my climbing capacity and my bouldering or whatever. I didn't climb V8 last year. I still like pretty much the same on my score in my training field, but on the competitive field, on the race day, my mindset and my gestion of my capacity have increased and evolved. So that's...
It's almost priceless.
Yeah, totally.
The experience, right?
And that's something that keep me motivated to keep on going, because I know I can keep improve in my physical capacity. Mm-hmm. I can keep training differently, harder, or different way to get better. But at the same time, I know that I still got that experience that keep growing as much as I'm going out there. Mm-hmm. So even if the new rookie are super strong, I know I still have that
in my
luggage, if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I'm sure a lot of people look up to you in this sport or in running. Like, is there anybody that you look up to in the sport that pushes you?
Totally. I'm super like concentrated in my sport, like in Spartan and obstacle course race. So my main mentor and model are Ryan Atkins.
Okay.
That if you're not an OCR athlete, you might not know.
OCR is?
OCR is obstacle course racing.
Okay, cool.
So it's like the abbreviation for it.
All right.
So yeah, sorry, I use it a lot since the beginning, but it's super important.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
For people that don't know.
And another super good athlete is Jesse Bruce, fellas from Toronto.
Okay.
Who's like, since I start, like since day one, my first Spartan, he was like in the lead. And he's a super strong athlete, but a crazy good human who got a backstory, but who push it through, and what sports save him in a lot of things. So he's a true like role model and an inspiration in life in general. Mm-hmm. And this year and last year, since 3 years ago, I start like really getting my game better, and I start competitive running against him more. So he wasn't just battling for the podium with two or three other guys, but I start like catching up with him. I wouldn't say I'm as it level right now. He's still got a little head in front of me in his game, I'm pretty sure. So this is why I'm keep on working out and pushing out a lot in my workout to go and be sure I can challenge him even easier this year. Mm-hmm. But I really like catch him up, and that bring a whole different world of possibilities. So this is why like this year I went on the world championship, and they have single event, but team events too.
Oh, cool.
To represent the country.
What is that, a relay or something?
So it difference. So we got two different world championship in the OCR world. You got the Spartan world championship, because Spartan is still a brand,
right?
Even if it defines a lot the sport, because it's one of the bigger one.
It's like Ironman.
Yeah, that's it, totally. Yeah. For triathlons, but yeah. Ironman, it's not like the triathlon like federation whatever. So exactly. It's separately.
Yeah.
So Spartan is the same thing, and we got Tough Mudder, who is another big obstacle course who have their championship, and we got OCR World Championship. That's another private company, but they try to agglomerate all the smaller races and put them together to have like more kind of a federation championship,
right,
who is represented by every different kind of smaller race who don't have the viewing and the capacity to have their own championship. Mm-hmm. And that this year it was in Great Britain. And so I attempt Spartan Race World Championship and OCR World Championship this year. And I did both team event into them for the Canada team.
Nice.
And it was like crazy events that give me the chance to run with those athletes because I got picked up in the main team.
That you look up to.
Yeah, that I look up to. So I run in the North American Championship with Jesse Bruce in the team, and we won the first place in North America.
Cool.
So we went to OCR World Championship in Great Britain to see what we can pull out with all the European team and all the other team out there. Mm-hmm. And we win again the first place. So it was like a highlight of the season to be like with him and helping him to win that place too at the same time. So
right.
I wasn't like slowing down. I just helped them at the same time.
Yeah.
And same for Ryan Atkins. He's one of the best athletes. He's pretty much the number one in Canada and the number one, top three in the world. So, and I had the chance to run with him at the World Championship Spartan Race in Lake Tahoe this season, and it was crazy. We yeah. went there too. So I was like, okay, cool. I can keep up with those guys when I got the motivation
yeah.
to go out there and give all I have, mm-hmm. way more than when I run alone. So mm-hmm. I discover another like discipline in my own sport this year with the team events.
Do you find like when you're running with them or like competing against them
yeah.
that there's a level like, for sure there's respect, you know?
Totally.
But is it like you feel weird about like, do you want to beat them or do you kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. You know yeah. what I mean? Like if you beat one of those guys,
yeah.
what's that feeling? You know,
I feel super proud
yeah.
because they are like role model, not only like I said in life, but in the sport, because they are like yeah. example athletes and I know they are super strong and I don't like to scale people like if they were higher or lower, but we got all different capacity. But I definitely think that those two athletes that I mentioned earlier are like ahead in front of me still in term of physical capacity, but experience too, and in term of mental like motivation, they are like uncrushable. It's crazy. If like it not goes well, they're gonna keep pushing and keep pushing no matter what. And this is so representative of them. This is what I'm working on too. Mm-hmm. But like in the OCR World Championship competition, I was running with Jesse Bruce and another athlete, and we were running against Ryan Atkins, who wow. is like considered better than us, than me and Jesse as an OCR athlete. Mm-hmm. And he was with two other Americans who are super strong. And in terms of ranking in the sport, those three guys were higher ranked than us three. So it was a crazy battle, but we got like that inner fire to go against them and show them that even if we are like an underdog team, we can pull out something good because we are bringing each of us best capacity. And this is exactly what we do. And we finished like 6 seconds in front of them. It was wow. like a crazy feeling.
Okay.
So when I crossed the finish line, I was so like, damn, I beat Ryan Atkins, but the team of Ryan.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was so proud of that. But there's such a big respect in that sport. And this is something I never saw and feel in any other sports. Even on running, in running events, people are super kind and everything. But in the elite, there's like, you do your thing and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So you run and you finish, you get your medal, your participation or whatever, podium, and you pretty much go. But in OCR community, like even the top athletes are super down to earth and are easy access. So yeah, this year I just discovered that way more because in Quebec, I'm considered one of the top athletes. And people always tell me, like, oh, you're so easygoing. It's easy to talk with you. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm still, like, just a normal human, too, at the same time. And I enjoy, this is my passion. So I have fun to exchange with you and talk about how you feel during your race and, like, the classic race stories. So we always love to, like, oh, yeah, what happened there? And do you remember that obstacles and that thing? So it's always cool. Mm-hmm. And no matter which position or what performance you pull out. So, but even if I know that about myself, I have that crazy thought that those guys were, are my role models, were not like that. They were like on another level, but they're, yeah, on another level of physical capacity. But in terms of human and exchange, they are super down to earth. And I discover like new friends to go and train with to help me to push forward. So
cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, the way you feel about them, that's how people look at you, too.
I guess. But I feel it, like, to to tell it myself, it's feel like I get a big head or...
No, not at all.
Yeah, I think so.
I think...
On a different level, yeah.
Yeah, because sure. It's, like, it's all, like, progressive. So you're just ahead of somebody else who's looking up to you, who approached you and said, like, hey, that guy's... Actually, he's a nice dude. And the guys you look up to, you think, like, oh, they're... These guys are heavy, you know?
Yeah, that's
they're,
it. They don't want to bother
next,
about...
Yeah, next level, you know? But turns out, you know, it's the same. I get that feeling in trail a lot, too. Yeah, I don't do a lot of trail, but I did one event. And, like, the elite guys, they're all really nice. Same with triathlon to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like Lionel Sanders, he's a Canadian athlete. And
true that.
Just super nice. Always willing to take a picture with us. And he's part of our team triathlon group on Facebook and stuff like that. So like really, really cool. How big is running in your training right now?
Right now it's a, it's a hard one because I just like restart my progression right now.
Yeah.
And during my off season, mainly in the winter. So January, February, I'm doing a little bit more of power, strength and conditioning, explosive stuff. So I still run like 3 to 4 times a week. Pretty much I do intervals, every kind of training. But in general, I know runners talk about volume in terms of kilometers per week. I would be about 30 to 40, not more than that right now. But I will scale that up. And during like my normal running block, I would be around 65 to 85K per week.
Still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like crazy a lot, but I mainly focus on the shorter distance. I prefer them in terms of fun on the sprint and super, the two we talk about, Spartan. Mm-hmm. And I do some beast, some longer distance, the equivalent of a half marathon, but with the obstacles and the hill and stuff. So it's way longer than a half marathon in terms of time. But yeah, this is pretty much it. So I never go higher than, and I will do some adjustment in my training for the next years from new knowledge and new experience I got to test. I always test stuff on myself before try to teach it too.
Yeah, for sure. And same with racing, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Exactly. So, but I will adjust and I think I will remain at not more than 4 times per week of running. And I will add more of balance and instable training with torsion into it as a fifth specific training for running.
Okay.
I would have put. Because I normally train around, like, I always have like 10 training per week, 10 like main training. So where I do like musculation with specific stuff and running and other variable like climbing or specific for obstacles. So, and I always add 5 for running, like half of it. But right now I will keep 5 for running, but only 4 of them will be running really. And the fifth one will be more about like technique and progression and strength and conditioning specific for running to help me be able to absorb the mechanic stress of running better and transfer it in my 4 other workout of the week and running.
So with your kinesiology background and coaching and, you know, personal training and all this, how important do you think that the strength training is to running? Because I think it's something that I'm learning now.
Yeah.
Along with stretching.
Yeah.
I'm trying to implement more weights and stuff. Yeah. How important?
I'm working on something, and I would love to say it's way more important than we think. I love the running community because it's still in the sports sphere, an open mind and always open to learn more and keep evolving. It's not like a closed mindset like hockey players or hockey preparation, because they have like some really old mentality sometimes, and it's hard to make it evolve. A lot of, and this is not general, it's not like everyone are like that, but in the hard core of the hockey preparation system, it's still a lot like that. And it's running, we got the same thing about like the hockey is super important for the kids and the new athletes to get big, to get muscle mass, to be able to tackle, even if it's hockey and it's not football, to be able to be bigger, than faster, quicker, and more agile. But it's still a work in progress, but it's changing, but it takes time. In running, I would say it's pretty much the same about the volume, the importance of running a lot. So you want to progress, you have to go out often, and for longer and longer and longer period. So, but this is not the only way. You don't have to just add kilometers and time to your week running to progress, even if you're an elite athlete. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different stimulus we can get with other movement that are specific to running or specific to your economy pattern. So you can save energy when you're going to run. And I think this is more and more talk about like in the last year, but we still have a lot of roads to do on that subject. So, and we have to do a big difference about training and musculation. It's not only weightlifting. People are runners in general, people who only run, I love to say, because we don't only run, we work, we do a lot of different stuff. Yeah. But people who mainly run for sports or training have sometimes the thoughts of musculation, it's a gym thing, we have to get some weights, some bars. So they saw the classic bench press, deadlift, back squats, and they are scared of that. And it's totally normal, because those exercises put a lot of stress in a specific way that is not exactly proper for running. So all those like old school gym exercise are all bilateral, so both sides at the same time. What is not running wise, it's not running specific. Because when we are in motion in any sports, we never push, pull, press, whatever, both segment at the same time. It's always in the position mm-hmm. of the chain, a torsion, where we have an energy transfer from one segment to the other. And running, it's that. It's like a repetition of upper and lower chain torsion help us progress forward. So it's important to, yeah, build strength and develop like muscular capacity, but we can develop that with different things than squats, bench press, and deadlift. So just a simple example as the difference of squats and a lunge. So everybody do know lunge too. It's like a common exercise now. We talk from lunges 10 years ago. That wasn't obvious. Squats have always been like the good exercise, and yeah. lunge were like, well, this is weird 10 years ago. But now it's a common exercise. But this is already a little bit more specific for running.
Yeah.
But we have to see if the people is unstable doing a lunge, it could be really good for her to work on some squat pattern or different stuff. But
as a progression.
Yeah, as a progression. Yeah, totally. But sometimes the problem is people get a program or a workout program and they progress into that program, but without adapting that program to what they're aiming for. So we go to the gym to work out, to improve our running capacity. We get like the beginning or general stuff, and this is totally fine. But sometimes we stick to it and we adjust in that field instead of still reminding ourselves why we came in for the in first. Mm-hmm. Why did we came to the gym to work out? And it's totally all right because it make you discover another field. So if you're like, yeah, I love like gaining muscle mass and getting more strength, perfect. But you just have to know that this is not wise to progress in your running capacity and your running speed. Mm-hmm. But as long as your goal are adjust, then you're like, yeah, but I discovered that new thing and I love it. So I'm going to work more on that. Okay. Keep running on the weekend and have fun running, it's totally fine. But I saw a lot of like dissociation of people are like, yeah, I am working super hard in the gym. Like the best example, I got a lot of my clients and athletes who are runners. They try OCR or obstacle course or Spartan. And they saw, okay, it's cool. I have to train hard, but like doing some workout and different stuff, not just running. So they go and the first thing they could do, it's CrossFit. Because it blew pretty much at the same time as the Spartan. So they're like, okay, CrossFit, it's functional movement. We are moving in space. It's a lot of cardio with musculation. It's good for running. But if you do like just a classic CrossFit without adaptation, it's a lot of bilateral movement, a lot of pulling and stuff who's not transferable for running. So you will have an athlete who will like try to keep running as hard as he can and get his body stronger, but way stiffer and way less proper to move as a runner.
Yeah.
So he's starting having injuries because he wants to progress in both field. When he gets stronger in CrossFit and faster in speed in running. So he got to choose, or he got to adapt one or the other to be more in the goal range of one of the two activities. Mm. So this is something I saw a lot.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. It's
and I don't say like CrossFit isn't good. Yeah. It can help you for a lot of things, but you have to know why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So yes, running and CrossFit are not meant to be like the best mix to progress in your running, but it doesn't mean you cannot progress if you do both, and it doesn't mean isn't good for you, but we have to adapt it. Right. So this is why I'm doing a lot of personal training and adaptation with the evaluation of the clients and his goal.
Super important.
Yeah, super important.
So what would you say for somebody, like what would you suggest to somebody that's let's say wanting to like just, you know, running maybe once, twice a week, but wants to like progress and do like a 10K or a, yeah, you know, half marathon, let's say. Yeah,
that's a perfect question because it go with the flow of what I was saying, but I lost where we start.
It's okay.
Classic Sam. So the classic clients who's coming for like a 5K, a 10K or a half marathon distance, we always have like the running plan, which is a classic 3 to 5 running days, depend on the distance you want to run. So the classic 10K is going to be a 3 day of running pretty much for the first month. And after that, we're going to progress to a 4 day of running to augment, to increase the volume of running, the number of kilometers per week. And that's pretty much it. In general, we can find a lot of super good running plan on the internet in books who are free or close to that, who are not like exactly specified for the runner. But at the same time, you can do some small tests to know his speed and put the speed he wants in the program. And this is going to be totally good. Mm-hmm. But what we miss on that part is that we push forward the fact always of running more, increase the intensity, increase the volume, and eventually getting injured. So this is a fact that like 3/4 of the runner have an injury once per year. So that's a lot. It's not mean to be like big injuries, but nobody wants injuries. Any runners know that because when you get an injury, how small it could be, it slows you down. Regress in your progression. So it slow you or it even stop you completely. So it get in the head, get in your body, and it's messing everything up.
Yeah.
So the best way to avoid those injuries is to do a lot of different things. And I would start to, yes, start running. But don't go for more to 3 times per week or short amount of time. Because people think, all right, I will go lead twice, but I will go for 2 hours each. Mm-hmm. So it's the concept is not how much time you go during your week, but more the amount of it. So this is why I prefer to calculate it in time or in kilometers. So if you start, you want to have a small amount of kilometers and or a small amount of time. It can be splits. On 5 days in your week, you do like five exit of 20 minutes. And it's perfect. You're going to have run 1 hour 40 in your first week. And this is legit. It's going to be good.
Nice.
But I will really recommend 2 to 3 times of running. Short time outside. And at least 1 to 2 times of exercise.
Okay.
Of specific strength and conditioning related to your unbalance or related to your weakness to help you progress. For sure, like specific exercise are not meant to be only done in the gym with weight. Like I said earlier, you can have like a little routine to do home, but I totally understand that the fact to commit to something, having an appointment or a place to go train helps a lot of people. And this is totally understandable. Like if you got, oh yeah, I got the perfect routine, I'm going to start it. Okay, January, it's going to hold on. And after that, you got the kids, you got the stuff at home that distract you from doing it. So you're going to cut piece of it. Mm-hmm. And eventually you just not going to do it anymore. So you have to commit to it as much as you commit to running, because it's as much important for your injuries, for your progression. Adding 5 to 6 exercise in your week, twice a week, that can help you a lot in your endurance muscle capacity, but at the same time in your proprioception, in your control of your body in this space. Mm-hmm. And running, it's all about that. It's about the motion. And we losing that because we get to run to burn calories. We get to run to do kilometers, to do Strava, different of goals.
Yeah,
challenge to do, okay, I'm going to do that faster. But we have to think about doing it better, doing it like make it easier for your body, because your body is meant to move in different ways. And running, it's only one way of moving. And it's for myself, like the one I love the most.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Even if you love running a lot and it's getting like an obsession or kind of a drug at a point, I think every like elite athletes, it's kind of a drug for them too.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to put variety into that, to put like different movement. So this is why I talked a little bit earlier about torsion and unbalanced exercise.
Okay.
That can bring you stimulus that we don't have anymore in our lifestyle, because we pretty much like sit in general all day for transport in cars, in the bus, in metro. People sit a lot
at their desk,
at home,
home,
yeah, on the couch, on the computer, on the table to eat. So, and what we do after that, we go for the run.
Yeah.
So they put their shoes and they start running in straight lines for a long amount of time, for a lot of mechanic stress on the body, but always the same stimulus. So running, it's around 160 to 180 rep per minute.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's not like a max rep when you do a back squat with super heavy weights, but still, it's like kind of 2 to 3 times your weight on every steps. For that amount of rep per minute, and you run for hours like that, if you don't do other surroundings to help you support that stress, it's gonna cause like injuries or leisure in the long term.
Yeah.
So we have to open our eyes about that and don't just like go run for the end relief and for the progression of running, but take time to meditate and do some torsion and different exercise. So this is why there's not like a magic or a special formula of this is the best way to train, but adding yoga, Eldoa, different mobility stretching class or
huge.
Yeah, it's helping a lot.
It's like building a house. You don't build a house without a foundation.
That's it. So you want to build that capacity.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's like I don't know if you're the same way, but I'm all about prevention, because I look around and I say, well, okay, you're hurt. What are you doing? Like that's causing this, you know?
Yeah.
And like, what can I do to
prevent that?
To prevent it? And I think the weight is not only good for the running, to strengthen the stabilizer muscles and everything, but just everyday life, you know?
Totally.
So that's always good. I just want to ask you one question I'm asking all the guests now is like,
yes.
What does running mean to you?
Running, what running means to me is, for me, honestly, I think it's a way of life. It's a transposition of something we got deep down in our expression. It's something we all, God, it's, yeah, running, it have been since I have a little bit of taste of it, not in terms of a training, but just the freeness it can bring you, the capacity to move yourself in space without restriction. It's for me like the biggest gift we can make for ourselves. And I think this is why I'm so passionate about running and about coaching people to get into running. I think it's made to be for everyone. So a lot of people say, yeah, no, I'm not made to running. I think we lose the ability of running with the generation and with our lifestyle and in our own life. But one of my life goal, it's maybe like utopia, but to be able to experiment, make everyone experiment running and be able to enjoy it without pain, without like discomfort. It brings you like a way of freeness to think, to, yeah.
Just be, it's a part, yeah, it's a, yeah, way of life and a part of life. And
totally.
It's always interesting because I find it's hard to explain to people sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I find, and you see, I got a lot of struggle trying to, yeah, explain it to you because I feel it, but I
don't
put words on it often. So
yeah, it's just something you do, and not everyone gets it.
Yeah.
But when you see when people catch on and they get a little taste, and you know, I see new people come into like run groups and stuff like that, and
yeah,
it's always nice to see them come back.
Yeah.
And like really progress and enjoy themselves too. Yeah. And I'm sure you get to see that every day.
Totally.
Where can people find out more about you? So I know, you know, like your Instagram, if they want to contact you, yep, for coaching, where do you train? This and that.
We can talk a lot about that because, yeah, I'm
just more like,
yeah, I'm a lot around different places, but the simplest way to find me out, for sure, Instagram. This is pretty much the main platform where I am active on.
Yeah.
So my name, it's The Modern Superhero. I changed it recently.
Cool.
So the dot modern dot superhero.
Cool.
And on Facebook, Samuel Hébert. You can find me easily. I got the same profile picture on both of them. So and DM me on Instagram or Messenger on Facebook. This is like the easiest way.
Awesome.
Or on my email.
Cool.
So
are you still coaching at B52?
Yeah, I still have and taking some client in for running and different purpose at B52, close from here. And I got my clinic in La Prairie.
Nice.
On the other side of the bridge.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's your own space that you...
Yeah, we got a space with me and my partners.
Nice.
We own a business who's called K5S.
Nice.
So where we do a lot of health and... gestion for the everyday of the customers.
What does that mean?
K5S, it's K for kinesiology.
Right.
Five is because we are five, and S for health, for santé en français.
Santé, okay. Yeah.
Perfect. And the 5K of the method Kaizen, two of the production.
Okay.
Japanese stuff. So there's a lot of thinking around it and stuff. So this is why we call ourselves Gestion Santé K5S.
Nice.
Because we think that the health, it's not only like exercise and planning,
yeah,
like a workout plan, but it's a lot of coaching, a lot of gestion of our schedules.
Cool.
Everybody as a human. So we said, yeah, we have to plan for the meal and stuff. So we are there to help people do spaces and build their schedules to be able to move into it and,
awesome,
have a better lifestyle.
Cool. And what's the A race for you this year?
Yeah, what's my A race this year? I haven't pulled out my official like race calendar this year yet, but it's going to mainly be the two world championships that I did this year to go and rank higher on the individual race.
Cool.
And to try to defend our first place in the team race. So nice. I will keep putting more more intensity in my training for the team events.
Amazing.
For sure.
Cool. Well, good luck with all the training. Good luck with all your events, and we'll follow along and see how you do. Thanks a lot for coming in today. I really appreciate it. Very inspirational, and I hope our guests got a taste of what it's like to be an elite athlete and kind of how to get started running as well.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Justin, for having me in. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you already subscribed to the Rundown, running with WRG, and still can't get enough? Sign up to their weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the community, hear about exclusive run events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Just go to iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. Thank you for joining us on this episode of La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at La Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it. La Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in downtown Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and assisted by Mark Grimberg. Marketing by Jill Garcia and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.